is episode 008 of the Spectacular Comic Book Podcast. I'm Andrew Reiner, and I have my friend Kyle Federline here. Hello, sir.
Hey, the greater, the stronger, and the more superior being, Kyle.
We all know that's not true, because for the last 3 weeks, you have dragged yourself in the mud, much to our amusement, and that's how we like you. So that's where we're going to leave you, face first in mud. We have 7 books to review this week, because we didn't have a show last week, because we only had 3, and it didn't feel right to do that, right, Kyle?
Yeah, it would have been a rather short show.
So we have 2 of them that are very strange, and by strange, I mean they're strange in the title. Let's start with the first one here.
Strange Adventures, issue number 1.
Here is DC's official description for Strange Adventures. Adam Strange is the hero of Ran, a man famous throughout the galaxy for his bravery and honor. After leading his adopted home to victory in a great planetary war, Adam and his wife Alana retire to Earth, where they are greeted by cheers, awards, and parades. But not all is as happy and nice as it seems, as the decisions Adam made during battle on Ran came back to haunt his family and threaten the entire DC universe. And now a surprise DC hero will have to choose between saving Adam Strange and saving the world, a story like no other. And I agree with that completely. Kyle, what's your stance on this?
I truly enjoyed the pace of this issue. I kind of felt like from the beginning to the end, we were kind of reliving through a deja vu through Adam Strange's life at the end of his being a superhero. Mm-hmm. He is selling a book and he's going through book signings and he kind of sees interaction with other humans that appreciate what he did as a war hero. The story itself, I found it very enjoyable. As the description says, ambitious, it's thrilling. There's shock value to this too, and it goes bonkers. I love the action in it. I feel like I don't know what he fights in it, but it is a Transformer like bot that it kind of zooms to. So I loved it. I also think, is there any resemblance? Did you find any resemblance of the Rocketeer with this character? Because I don't know a whole lot about Adam Strange, but I know his character when his jetpack and stuff reminded me of the Rocketeer.
Oh, definitely. I don't know which one came first. They're both kind of from that same era of those kind of pulpy heroes, mm-hmm. you know, battling aliens and all that stuff. The thing I really liked about this is it felt like the last chapter of a hero's life. Like you're seeing what happens right before the credits roll, you know, mm-hmm. in some superhero movie, you know, at the end of Endgame or something like that, where you are getting all this resolve and you kind of get that within the first few pages. And then all of a sudden, oh no, he's not retiring. Life on Earth is not going to be good. There's crazy stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be right back in it. And this is a maxi series, by the way, which means it's just going to be 12 issues. So there will be a defined ending to this, hopefully. A lot of times, if it's really popular, there'll be a soft ending and then they'll just kind of go, okay, we'll add another maxi series on the end of this one. But Tom King has been really good with his kind of finite stories, and he's the writer on this one, and I think that we will probably get that with this. Like, I have a feeling once the 12 issues are done, he's going to move on to something else. I'm going to give this one a flat 8 out of 10. What's your score?
8.25.
Perfect. Let's move on to our next book.
Batman, issue number 90.
Now, we said there's 2 strange books. This one has a strange hero in it, but this is not the other strange book that we're referencing here. Kyle, do you want to give the official description?
The mysterious master criminal, known only as the Designer, once brought together Gotham City's greatest criminals to plot the perfect crime, and now his plan has been unleashed upon the city in all its might. Batman will go to any length to uncover the grand design, but Catwoman is the one who holds the greatest secret. If Batman wins against the Designer, he will lose everything.
Hmm. So that's kind of implies that there's a showdown between Batman and Designer, but that's not necessarily the case with this book.
Mm-hmm.
Batman's seen a photograph of him, but has not tangled with him physically yet. There is a big game afoot here for Batman, and it's the last page of the book kind of sums up exactly what's going to be happening here and why the Designer is such a threat. Because right now he hasn't done anything. He's gotten some of the rogues together. He's gotten Joker, Penguin, Riddler, and Catwoman together and kind of laid out this ultimate plan, a way for them to take over the city, take down Batman once and for all. That's all he's done, right, Kyle?
What I got from this issue particularly is the interaction between Batman and Catwoman as he's trying to milk out the secret from her. And I enjoyed, you know, going through Selina's head and retelling some of the past memories. And this is my first reading with the Designer. And I know the last issue that you read on our last episode had the introduction of the Designer.
Yep. This would be his first full appearance. Yeah, so he's tall. He doesn't dress very well, but he is, what, he's got to be like 6'8"?
Which is kind of funny because, I mean, he is the Designer.
Yeah, so overly when designed, I think of that, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. But I enjoyed this. I really enjoyed this issue of Batman. And there is one cut at the end, not the end, but there's a cut of Joker in here where he is looking at Gotham. And it's just, it gave me goosebumps. Just the sheer look of insanity on his face.
Oh, yeah. He knows he's got a gold mine. Like, he has this card that is going to help him rule the city or do something terrible to Batman mm-hmm. or someone else. You don't know what his end game is yet, but that is because of the Designer. There's some stuff that happens very quickly with the Designer. You're like, oh, okay, that's over. And then they're like, oh no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could have used a little bit more room to breathe. The artwork is absolutely gorgeous in this mm-hmm. issue. Like, there's a shot of Batman and Catwoman up on a rooftop. The detail in it with the city behind them is top-notch, and it almost feels like a cover, you know? Like, a lot of the pages throughout this, you're like, wow, that could have been the cover of this book.
Yep.
I'm going to give it a... I liked it a lot. I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10. Where do you sit on this one?
8.25 also.
That's your score today.
Yeah, I might go with it for the rest of the episode.
Well, I hope not, because some of these books are not so great. Let's do our next book.
Strange Academy, issue number one.
This is a new book from Marvel, a new number one. I'll read the official description here. The Marvel Universe has mysteriously changed in such an alarming way that Doctor Strange has done what he's avoided for decades. He's opened a school for young sorcerers. Young people from around the world with aptitude and magic have been brought together in New Orleans to study the mystic arts under Strange, Brother Voodoo, the Ancient One, the Scarlet Witch, Magic, Hellstorm, and all your favorite Marvel magicians. But with all the new magical threats, is it too late? So yeah, Doctor Strange has basically done what Professor X has, and he's mm-hmm. put together a school for a different type of gifted individual, and I like the setup. I think it's cool. It's a little rote, in that it does remind you of X-Men a lot. With the magical element, there's a lot of different things going on there, and I think it has a chance to be not as good as X-Men, but it seems like it's almost for a younger audience,
mm-hmm.
with the characters all being kind of teenagers, and, you know, X-Men, you had Wolverine that kind of balanced that, and Cyclops, he kind of had some of these more senior-level mutants along for the ride. This seems mostly mm-hmm. focused on the kids, and I think that's kind of cool. So I do think there's room for it to breathe next to X-Men. The story itself, I was a little ho-hum on. There's a lot of exposition about setting up the school, which you need, and I like that. But then they tried to just kind of throw in kind of this mystical plot, which I didn't think they needed in this first issue. I thought just setting up the school and getting to know the characters was enough. There's a lot there. I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10. Where do you sit?
I am at a 7.75.
See, you're not giving everything an 8.25.
No, no. But everything you said, I completely agree with. It is a very much X-Men-esque type of read, and I enjoy the character development of it, and the artwork I think is awesome, and a lot of the different, the different characters and like monsters and just everything is displayed very well. So, but you hit the nail on the head by your review on this.
I think I'll read issue two, but we'll see. Like I said, Scotty Young did a nice job setting things up a little bit, but that, man, that plot just comes at you fast and it just doesn't hit. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see if they can flesh it out a little bit, stretch it out a little bit in the next issue, but let's move on to the next book.
Daredevil, issue number 19.
Right, here's Marvel's official description. This one's short. Hell's Kitchen is hanging by a thread, and that thread is Daredevil. Owl makes his play while Mayor Fisk watches from the sidelines. That's all that Marvel wanted to say. This book is really, really, really heavy on villains. Like, if you thought that Batman book had a nice rogue gallery going, this one, it's just like a greatest hits of all of Daredevil's like villains coming out of the woodwork. You got Bullseye. You even had Stiltman come in. Oh, man. I loved it. Everyone. Rhino's there for some reason. It's Hell's Kitchen is basically the police said, screw it. If anything's going on, just let it go. So all the villains are showing up. It's madness in the streets. I really love how they show how the citizens kind of try to fight back. I thought that was pretty clever.
Yes.
Kind of had a V for Vendetta type of vibe to it a little bit. And the last page, I was ready. I was like, let's go. Let's get the next issue because that last page is really good. I adore this issue. I think this has been a great series overall. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. Wow. I think this is, of all the books so far, this is the one. There's one more book on this list that we haven't got to yet that I think you should pick up for sure. But even at issue 19, this is a great jumping on point because they do a great job of just kind of setting up the flow of what's going on in Daredevil's universe. And it is technically the beginning of a new story arc. I think it's going to be a two-parter. But I can't wait to see what happens after that last page. What did you think of Daredevil?
So I really enjoyed reading through this. But personally for me, I was a little lost reading through this story. And that was just mainly because of running into a lot of different characters that I personally was not familiar with. I'm familiar with the movies, the TV show as well. But like Stiltman, like you said, I don't know who that is. I know who Bullseye is. I obviously know who Fisk is. But that kind of...
Well, Bullseye's great in this, by the way. Just a side note.
Oh, yes.
Just maniacal.
Yes.
I love it.
So that did two things for me. One, it piqued my interest in wanting to know more about these people. And then two, it also kind of... I don't know if saying gave me anxiety is a good thing, but it made me feel lost while I was reading it.
I don't think the previous 18 issues will do anything for you in that capacity.
Okay.
I mean, it is very much like, here's some blasts from the past, which I think is kind of neat. You're totally right. It is like, if you don't know Daredevil's universe, you're just going to be like, well, what's that guy? What's he doing? Why? Okay, he's shooting a gun. But they are just kind of there in a cameo capacity.
Yeah. And with that said, the Uprise of the Civilians was awesome. I loved that feature in this issue. And the fact that Hell's Kitchen is just blocked off and all this chaos is going on in there. It's a very interesting read. And I also will be interested in the next issue of this. Yeah. And I gave this an 8.5.
Well, okay. You're slightly higher than your other books here. Let's move on to number five. Which one are we on? Number five.
Spider-Man Noir, issue number one.
You want to read the description?
The official description reads, as the specter of war looms on the horizon, Spider-Man Noir fights the good fight at home, stopping the injustices of a more friendly neighborhood variety. But after a dame is murdered at the Black Cat nightclub in All Clues Point overseas, Spidey will have no choice but to board the next flight to Europe and kick off a globe-trotting adventure through yesteryear of the Marvel Universe.
All right. Yeah, that book is interesting. This is another maxi series. It's five issues. I really like the art style. I like the kind of old school noir crime vibe that they have going on. Noir Spider-Man is very cool, how he has the dual pistols. I love that. The trench coat, the hat. It's a cool look for Spidey. I don't know if I'm sold on the story itself or the big mystery kind of that they're setting up. I love the Indiana Jones map with the plane flying. It definitely has, like they said in the description, Globetrotter kind of feel to it. And that's what they're setting up for the next issue. But I just wasn't really invested in the main meat of this story, right? I was just kind of like, I like this era. I like this idea. I like this character. But it just kind of fell flat for me. I'm going to go with a 7 out of 10 on this one. It's okay. Again, I was there mostly for seeing Spidey do cool spider noir things, which are very different than modern Spidey. But otherwise, I don't think I'm going to come back. I got my fill, and I was hoping it would be something a little different, but it just kind of felt like it's kind of a heartless journey through the past. Where are you sitting on this one?
That's a good word, heartless. Because I couldn't figure out what was quite wrong with it, but I didn't really feel this book. I didn't feel connected to it. I did feel connected to the art. The artwork is incredible. I loved looking at every image that it had to offer, but it was missing something, and it just didn't really catch my attention. Definitely different seeing Spider-Man with pistols. That is different, but it wasn't doing it for me. So I gave this a 7 out of 10.
Hey, when you read it, did you have Nick Cage's voice in your mind from Into the Spider-Verse? Wasn't that Nick Cage? I think it was.
Yeah. He played. He played it in Spider-Verse. I didn't. Although I should have read it that way.
You might enjoy it more if you do that.
Maybe it'll go up to an 8.25 if I do that.
There you go. Next book.
Falcon and Winter Soldier, issue number 1.
All right. This one came out 2 weeks ago, but it was one of those ones that we just kind of held over for this week. You should still be able to find it on comic shelves. Marvel's official description: an office of dead government agents, a gifted new killer, 2X Captain Americas. When a dramatic attempt on the life of Bucky Barnes reunites him with Sam Wilson, the two old friends are plunged headlong into a race to uncover the new leader of Hydra before a mass casualty event announces the terror group's resurgence to the world. The clock is ticking. So this has a very buddy cop vibe to it with Falcon and Winter Soldier together. I have a feeling this might be laying the groundwork for the upcoming Disney Plus series, the Falcon and Winter Soldier series, which is a part of the MCU. I would not be surprised if it follows the same kind of vibe, that buddy cop mentality of these two guys working together, kind of exchanging war stories, both down kind of on their luck, right? The threat that comes up in this is so unexpected. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be here for maybe a couple panels, maybe a couple pages. Nope, this is going right into issue 2, and it is really, really wild and something I didn't expect. Especially these characters of these caliber going against this is bizarre, but it works. It really works well. I finished that issue. I was like, I need issue 2. When's that coming out?
Yep.
I'm giving it an 8.5. I'm guessing, Kyle, you like this one as well, but let me know. Where are you sitting?
Yeah. So I gave this a 9 out of 10.
Whoa!
Yep. This was my favorite book that we read this week, and I think it had good humor. I think the beginning, the first few pages were just awesome. Seeing Bucky just go just full carnage, just wrecking Hydra soldiers. At the end, I guess maybe little threat is a good tease, is totally unexpected.
Little threat, I like that.
Totally unexpected. Yeah. And I really, really enjoyed this issue. I will say, probably one of my favorite lines that I have read out of any of the books that we had is when Bucky is chatting with Falcon and discussing with him the events that took place in the first few pages. And he mentioned that some soldiers came after his cat, and while they were after his cat, they started to fight him as well, which I thought was, it made me laugh out loud.
And it's written by Derek Landy, and I agree, the script was top notch, especially at the end. Kind of how they convey the emotions of all three characters involved and just kind of the personalities of each of them is so good. Yeah, can't wait. Really can't wait for that one.
It's a great book.
Last book. Let's do it.
The Flash, issue number 750.
You want to do the description?
Beginning the Flash Age. The story we've been building toward since issue number 50 comes to a head. While a supercharged speed force wreaks havoc on Barry Allen's life, a new threat appears on the horizon in the form of a deadly paradox. Destined to destroy the Flash's legacy, Paradox sends his herald, Godspeed, to trap the Flash family. Plus, in this special anniversary issue, tales from across the generations of super speedsters by an all-star lineup of writers and artists.
Yes, I think there's five different stories in this one. Kyle, you didn't read it, right?
I did not.
Yeah, I think there's five. This is an expensive book. It's $7.99, and it's, you know, 80 pages. The first story alone is larger or longer than normal, and it's very good. I love how they're kind of reflecting on who the Flash is in this one. So you're getting all these snapshots of the characters he saved over time. As this new threat starts to loom, Godspeed shows up and's like, something bad's happening. And then you meet Paradox, the character that was introduced in the last issue, which we reviewed, kind of throws it out there, lets the Flash know what's kind of going on. And it ends on a really solid note of there's going to be a big battle and I don't know what's going to happen. And then the other stories take place at different points in the Flash timeline. I think this is, well, actually, there's probably two stories here that I would say are pushing the main continuity forward. This first one and then the last one. The last one has a chair involved. It has Dr. Manhattan powers involved. And I think that is setting up a big event for DC Comics moving forward here. Maybe Gen 5 stuff. We'll have to see. And by the way, there's been crazy stuff going on at DC. I should just add on here. I'm going to give this one an 8 out of 10. And if you like The Flash, it's not a good jumping on point. I would say the issue before it, if you can find that one, that's where you should start before you read this one. It really does feel like two parts. More so than most comics, it really does feel like they need to sit together. But the thing I wanted to bring up about DC is they fired their editor-in-chief, the guy who's kind of been running the show. Dan is out. We don't know what's going on with Gen 5 now. Like he's been working on that. Dan Didio, I believe his name is. There's rumors that DC might be in trouble, that AT&T and Warner might be thinking about downsizing or shutting down DC or something like that. There's all sorts of crazy rumors going around.
Oh, no.
I hope it's not true, but we'll have to see what happens here. Jim Lee, I believe, will probably take over the publishing duties, because he was kind of second in charge over there. We'll have to wait and see, but it's kind of dark times over there. So I'm hoping everything can kind of, you know, hopefully no one else loses their jobs and it's business as usual and they can pull out of this and figure out a path forward. But yeah, kind of scary times over there.
I'm sorry. I'm just pondering over what you just said. I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah.
How does that even, so if, per se, DC shuts down, what happens from there?
I don't know.
On out? I mean,
I don't know. You'd think they'd sell it off
to Marvel or Disney.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. It really is. Boy, talk about monopolies.
Okay. Sorry. I just, that kind of just left me speechless.
You know what will lighten our moods? Upcoming books. Let's do that.
Upcoming comics.
All righty. This is going to be another light week. I've only pegged two sure purchases so far. That's Cable number one, and then Star Wars Bounty Hunters number one. Cable, it's going to tie in with the new Krakoa stuff going on at the X-Men, you know, like that whole thing that's been going on since November, maybe. So that'll be interesting to see what they do with him, especially now that they kind of get Wolverine kind of fleshed out a little bit. Bounty Hunters is exactly what the name implies. You got Bossk, you got Boba Fett. But here's a question for you, Kyle. Do people still like Boba Fett, or is it all about Mando now?
I would rather not participate in this little poll here, because I'm afraid if I pick one or the other, then I'm going to get shouted at by everyone else.
Well,
I don't know.
Let's go off on a tangent here a little bit.
Okay.
Mandalorian, you know everything about this character, does awesome things, is really good with a gun, uses a jetpack convincingly, is a one-man army at times. At the same time, there's a bit of a interesting human side to him. Boba Fett, what did we like about Boba Fett in Empire Strikes Back? The armor, Vader saying no disintegrations to him, implying he's really good at his job and he does crazy things. You see him on Cloud City. He gets Han Solo, puts him on his Slave One ship. Away he goes. You're like, okay, he's awesome. Return of the Jedi, they completely undo the awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
He takes a shot at Luke, misses horribly, gets hit in the back with a staff, and falls in a Sarlacc pit. Like, hits his even head, like, face plants on the sail barge, and then, like, falls in the Sarlacc pit.
Well, you say it like that.
So, now we have, like, a legit awesome, and he wasn't even a Mandalorian. He's just an imposter wearing the armor. So has Boba Fett's legacy completely been upended and made invalid by Mandalorian? I think it kind of has. I still like his armor, but it's similar to Mandalorian. There's like a billion of these guys, and not billion, but a dozen plus, right?
Yeah.
And they're all more efficient than Boba Fett was.
All right, so you say like that Mandalorian is far ahead of Boba Fett.
Now, they could introduce Boba Fett in Mandalorian Season 2. And have him throw down, and then you're like, okay, he's cool again. But as of now, I really do think that they've kind of made him go from one of the coolest characters in Star Wars to just being kind of a nobody.
Would you want that in Mandalorian for an episode dedicated to Boba Fett? Or would you rather? Because, I mean, they couldn't really ruin it any more than, you know, not ruin it, but make Boba Fett look weaker than he already is now compared to Mandalorian.
So there is a tease, to answer your question. There's a character that's down out in the desert, and then you see these boots come walking up to it with a cloak, and the boots, they're making spur sounds, like clink, clink, clink. Fans have realized that those spur sounds are the exact same spur sounds from Boba Fett when he walks on Cloud City, when he's at the dinner party with Vader, he comes walking out, and it's the exact same sound. So maybe they've already set up a Boba Fett showdown, or at least some kind of cameo.
That'd be awesome if he was like the main main bad guy in Season 2.
Oh, it'd be so cool. So cool. Obviously, you have a character now with a certain blade that is going to be a threat. Which is basically going to be Mando's next weapon, right? Like, he's going to purchase that thing.
Yeah.
Or not purchase it, but he's going to procure it, and he's going to go bonkers with that.
It's going to be awesome.
Oh, can't wait. Can't wait. Anyway, tangent over. Let's take a look at what else is coming this week. Let's see. Okay. Over at DC Comics, Aquaman Giant number 3 is out. That's $4.99. If you missed out on Batman 89, second printing will be out. Batman and the Outsiders, that's number 11. Catwoman 21. Flash 751. So guess what? We already get that next one. I can't wait to read that. Green Lantern Season 2, number 2. Hawkman 22. Superman 21. Wonder Woman 753. Young Justice 14. I might look at some of these for new story arcs. We'll have to wait and see. IDW has Transformers 18 and Read-Only Memories, number 3 of 4. Transformers is very good. I'm going to keep banging that drum. If you're not reading it, you should be. Image Comics has, this is kind of an odd-numbered series, maxi-series, Decorum, number 1 of 8. You don't often see 8-issue arcs. That might be worth looking into. Marvel Comics, here we go. I think we might be just revisiting a lot of old books this week, Kyle.
Okay.
So we got Amazing Spider-Man 41. That's something going on with Boomerang, kind of a middle of a story. Probably avoid that. There's Ant-Man number 3. I'm excited about that. Avengers of the Wasteland, number 3. We didn't do number 2. Ghost Rider, number 6. Jessica Jones, Blind Spot, number 5. And then we brought up Star Wars Bounty Hunter. There's also Star Wars Darth Vader, number 2. And Star Wars The Rise of Kylo Ren, number 4 of 4. A lot of Star Wars going on. Now here's the really exciting thing. Thor, number 4. Yes.
Yep.
Donny Cates, Thor, and also Venom, number 24. So we get a double pack of Donny Cates. That's going to be fantastic. And then the last book is X-Men, number 8. And that is what's coming next week. Again, we're getting Thor for sure, and I'm going to get Venom for sure. Mm-hmm. But then it's Cable and Star Wars Bounty Hunter book for sure.
Bounty Hunters.
Yeah. So if you're reading along with us, those are the ones to get, and then I'll see what else I can do to fill out the episode. Hopefully we can do it this week. All right, that's it for this week's books. What's next on the docket, Kyle?
So we have a listener question, or a suggestion, should I say. The last week that we had recorded, we did our top 5 heroes. And I'll let you go ahead and listen to this.
Let's hear what it is.
Hey, Andy and Carl. I want to offer a sincere thank you for getting me back into comic books. I forgot how much I love reading, and you guys really have gotten me back into it, and I want to say thank you for that. Just got done listening to the new episode and was wondering if you guys were going to do a top 10 villain since you did a top 10 heroes. Thanks.
He called you Carl. Oh, that's great. That's really good.
Always inferior. Yeah.
Carl, face in the mud, Federline. that's a great idea. Okay. Should we do that?
Yes, and we'll do top 5, yes. Not top 10.
Collectively 10.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
It's a good way of looking at it.
Let's kick it off.
Top 5 villains.
This is going to be interesting. This one was harder for me to come up with than heroes. I guess it's just because...
Me too.
The heroes are often the books you buy, and the villains are dispersed throughout them. It makes it a little trickier, right? So I'm going to start with Deathstroke as my number 5.
Okay.
He wears too much orange. Should maybe be a crossing guard at schools or something with those colors. But boy, is this character complex and exciting, and you never really know what you're going to get from him. And a lot of times it's up to the writer just to be like, okay, he's going to be kind of a good guy this week. Other times it's like, he's going to murder a whole bunch of people, and there's going to be a lot of other people that are really upset with him. And I think that just makes him really interesting, more so than like Punisher over at Marvel. This character is really sewn into DC's lore, whereas Marvel really doesn't know what to do with Punisher, right? He's not a part of like a lot of their big events. I think they even turned Punisher into Frankenstein once. Very strange things, but Deathstroke has been very consistent, and they've kind of doubled down on Deathstroke, giving him a daughter, Rose. His bloodline is complicated, and yeah, this is a villain that has had his own series time and time again, and it's worked. I adore this character. Who's your number 5?
So I went with Kingpin or Wilson Fisk. He is just a brute of an individual who is ruthless. He's very ruthless in the TV show, and even his demeanor carries over into the Spider-Verse, which I think everybody should have seen that by now. It's been out for a couple of years or a year or so. I don't know, but there's a point in the movie where, you know, he pounds on Spider-Man. And it's just the amount of power that he's hitting him with. And he kind of runs the show. He runs Hell's Kitchen. And he, I don't know. He's just someone that I would not want to mess with.
Yeah, that's very
clear. He's also got a complex personality as well. I feel like he's always battling in his head of what to do. And trying to justify what he's doing is right. Yeah, he's my number 5.
All right. One thing real quick. That whole Netflix Marvel run, that doesn't count anymore, right? They said it was canon, but like that thing ended up smelling like awful at the end. Like it was
I thought that they would... I had a theory that Disney was going to pick it up and do it, but obviously the content's more gritty than what Disney would put out. But yeah, I guess it's just kind of done.
I like their casting for Kingpin. He was fantastic.
Yes. Yeah.
But that whole thing is
just kind of a...
Doesn't feel like it's a part of the MCU. And even...
No, it really doesn't.
The Agents one, what is that show?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, that one at least kind of has a tie with a character.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that doesn't... It feels like they're just going full bore with the Netflix stuff now, and that's going to be our future. Wonder if they'll kind of say... Get rid of it like they did the Star Wars Expanded Universe. Like, we tried it, but no, that's not canon.
Yeah.
We have a better idea.
Yeah. And so it would be nice if they give us a clean slate, and then, you know, it would be nice to have a new Daredevil, something that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
Or Punisher,
yeah, I agree.
Or just wipe the slate clean, and let's push these characters forward and put them in the MCU.
Yep. Yeah, they deserve to be there. All right, my number four is Magneto. Again, terribly colored with the purple and... but the helmet's cool. The helmet's very cool. Boy, just talk about a backstory for a character that is just immediately fascinating. And then just the intelligence he always shows, right? Sure, he gets angry and violent at times, but it's always like an intellectual... problem with him, or you know, something he's trying to solve intelligently. And I think he's just dynamic whenever he's in a comic book or even on screen. You don't know what you're going to get from him, and he's a part of the good guys now on Krakoa in the X-Men. And every time he's on screen, he's or in the panel, and he's all white now, like his costume's all white, I'm like, oh, something bad's going to happen. But it hasn't yet. But you can see it in there, right? You could see it being seeded. And, yeah, he's always been fascinating. And I love what he can do to Wolverine, you know, since he can control metals, and Wolverine's mostly metal.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't stand a chance against him. Who's your number four?
Magneto.
Hey, look at us.
Yep.
Look at us. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Look at us.
Everything you said. We're pretty much the same person, except...
I'm great.
And I'm muddy, I guess.
Dirty.
Yeah. But everything he said, him being super intelligent, he kind of, you know, it's weird. I think when I think of Magneto, I also think of Sigma from Overwatch. Those two characters just, they just, to me, they are
floating.
The same character.
Floating and throwing stuff.
Well, and then I think, all right. I won't get too far off track here. But yeah, with him being Krakoa now as well, and being a quote-unquote good guy, I am waiting to see him snap and something terrible go on with him. Because, I mean, even though he is extremely smart, he is super powerful too. And I just... How can you not love him? He's just awesome. Terribly bad, but terribly awesome.
All right, you give your number three.
Thanos.
Are you kidding? That's mine.
Yep.
Yeah, Thanos is, again, purple. Not great.
Mm-hmm.
Not great. Maybe that's what I like about these heroes, or these villains. They all wear purple. But I know why you like him. You like him from the movies, obviously.
Yes, very much so. That's really all I know him from.
But... Even there, in the short amount of screen time he's gotten in all those movies, they made him seem really interesting and trying to solve a major problem in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as a theater goer, you're like, probably not the best idea, but I see what he's going for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so did the villain or the heroes, right? They're like, nope, you got to be stopped. Like, we're going to cut off your head. That version of him is very true to the comics as well. Like, he wanted to right wrongs in the universe, but he was even more interesting in the comics for the Infinity Gauntlet because it was about wooing death, falling in love with death, this female version of death that he wanted to have at his side. So he was doing a lot of things for her, which I thought was very, very, very interesting. And there's that one point in Infinity War where they go to a different realm tracing a gem, and you see that kind of ghostly floating figure.
Yeah.
And it ends up being Red Skull. But in that, for that one brief second, you're like, oh my God, it's death. She's here. Mm-hmm. And they did that intentionally for comic fans. I thought that was super cool. But yeah, how can you not like this guy that wants to murder half the universe, right? Like, that's the big bad of any comic book. Like, no one even comes close to that.
I love that he makes it his sole purpose in the movies itself to just, that it's his job to cut off 50% of the universe.
Yeah.
And the end of Infinity War, when you see that giant event take place and his finger snaps, and it hit me in all the good and bad places, because I want to see.
I don't like how you phrase that.
Good and bad places?
Yeah. Not great, dude.
All right. Well, I'm going to stick with that. All the good and the bad places. I felt for characters that we saw be affected by his finger snap, and I wanted to see what the characters that were still around were going to do with Thanos in Endgame, and we got that, and I loved every bit of that movie.
All right, I'm going to go with my number two.
Okay.
Venom. Okay, that's not yours. That's good.
No.
Not the same. So Venom, I love the Spider-Man books, and you take this black suit that Spider-Man wore, and you're just like, okay, he's got a cool new costume. And then you turn that into, like, this cosmic being that likes to eat brains and is a symbiote, and it can take over people and mess with their minds. That's so cool. And then the whole tongue with the same kind of Spider-Man look. Yeah, I just think he's so well-designed. And I there's not much else I could say about it. Like, I love where he's at in the stories now, where he's kind of a good guy, but not really, because, yes, Eddie Brock may want to do good things, but the alien inside him might say otherwise, right? Who's your number two?
So I went at this at a different angle, and we have read their comics, and we talked about this a little bit earlier today, one of the comics particularly. I picked Darth Vader.
That doesn't count.
Does that count? Why not? He's a villain.
All right. It's not really a comic book
villain. They're Star Wars comics, right?
Sure. All right. You could be difficult. Go for it.
Okay. Do I need to say more than Darth Vader? I mean, everybody knows why Darth Vader is incredible as a villain.
Yeah. No, I don't think you need to go any further. Should we say our number one on the count of three?
Yeah.
Okay. One, two, three. Joker. You suck at that.
Do it again?
No, I love it.
Okay.
So,
do we need to say anything else about Joker? I mean, everybody...
Well, I think they kind of ruined part of what makes him interesting with the Joaquin Phoenix movie. I know everybody's shocked, but giving him an origin story, a defined origin story, isn't... That's kind of what I like about Joker, is you didn't know who he was. There's so many theories and different, like, lies or truths that people are believing in the universe that kind of add up to this mystery of who he is. And then he's just maniacal and funny at times. Like, you laugh at him, but then you're like, oh God, I shouldn't laugh at that. He's going to, like, murder a bunch of children or something. Like, he's ruthless, and boy, the perfect foil for Batman. What do you like about him?
That he's insane. And you could be reading through one page of a comic with him in it, and the next page could be completely out of the ballpark, completely opposite of what his demeanor was on on the previous page. You don't know what's coming next from a character like Joker, and he's so unpredictable.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. Well, that is the end of our episode. Let us know who your top five villains are. I'm sure Kyle will tweet that out. Where can they find us, Kyle?
You can find us on Twitter, where you'll see a tweet about top five villains throughout this week at some point, at The Comic Book Pod on Twitter. Facebook and Instagram are The Spectacular Comic Book Podcast. And you can also email us if you want at thecomicbookpod@gmail.com. And don't forget, just like our previous voice message that was sent to us on this episode, you can go to anchor.fm/ The Spectacular Comic Book Podcast, or just search for the podcast on Anchor and hit that send voice message button. We want to hear from you, so send us a question, thoughts, suggestions, anything that you think would be beneficial to the show. We want to hear from you lovely listeners. And until next time, enjoy the comics. Have a spectacular week.